but it will be uploaded on our website later. The presentation is available on our website as well. And RJ, our group CFO, will provide more details on the quarter after some introduction remarks by Sheikh Mohammed. Then Andrew will provide you with an update on the company's digital health. And as always, we will leave ample time for your questions at the end of the session. So to begin then, I would like to hand over to Sheikh Mohammed. And if I could ask Sarah to share our presentation as well. Thank you, Sarah. Okay. Apologies about that. I just hear that Sheikh Mohammed is not connected on the line yet. So in this case, I would like to ask RJ to kick off the meeting with the opening remarks. Sheikh Mohammed is going to join us hopefully later.
Thanks, Andreas. I think we can give a few seconds to Sheikh Mohammed. Maybe I do see the icon right now on the screen. If we can wait for a few seconds.
Hello.
Excellent. I think we got Sheikh Mohammed now as well. So that's great news. Apologies for the start. So in this case, I would like to ask Sheikh Mohammed, Deputy CEO of the group and CEO of Ooredoo Qatar, to start with some opening remarks on our financial year 2020 results.
Thank you. Thank you, Andreas. And sorry for being late because of technical issues that just to get in. So I would like to start for a high level of group results. And as everyone knows and can see from this slide, COVID-19 has really affected, and the pandemic has affected our all OpCos and operation across where we are. And we have seen, or you can see here also, that the revenue has declined by 4% year on year. And that heavily, as I said, COVID-19 impact. Also, reduction in handset sales and roaming business in some OpCos that we will cover later on by EG as well. Also, some microeconomics weak in some markets, despite the growth offset by other markets like Indonesia, Myanmar, and Palestine. In terms of EBIT, decline happened as also result of from a revenue decline, and that's decline of 6% year on year. Also, challenging market conditions in our most markets have really affected our EBITDA. We're still making sure that we have a very healthy EBITDA margin at 42% for the year 2022. And we're still having our ongoing program of cost optimization and digitalization that really can enhance and improve a healthy EBITDA across all our operations. When it's come to the net profit, our net profit to Ooredoo decreased by 35% year on year. That stands at 1.1 billion Qatari riyal in 2020. Of course, that also lower EBITDA affected the bottom line for 2020, but also compared to last year, there is a gain of one-off that sale of our towers in Indonesia. Data revenues accounted for more than 50%, and that really goes in line with our digital strategy and vision for Ooredoo Group and OpCos. and how we can transform our business and OpCos that we are operating, what market that we are operating in. Our customer number has increased by 3%, reaching 121 million. We still have a very healthy cash reserve and liquidity levels. We also, as said that we have a very good performance on our healthy EBITDA margin that's also translated into bottom line despite some one-off of last year and as well as lower EBITDA that affected the bottom line. Despite all these challenges, our board recommends a distribution of 0.25 Qatari per share. Having said that, as I said, this is a glance of high-level view of the group result in 2020. I think as a telecom or the industry that we are in, we are the least impacted. We have been very resilient. We made sure that we really serve our customer across all our OpCos to the best service that we can deliver. And I think with that, challenging year that we have been through, it has been a very good performance across all our operations. By that, I would leave the floor for our colleague, EJ, our group CFO, to take you through for the further details of Qobuy, of course, and operation.
Thank you, Sheikh Mohammed, for that overview. Let's move on to the next slide, revenue and EBITDA. Revenue in 2020 was 28.9 billion riyals, down 4% compared to the previous year, primarily due to COVID-19 impact, and also partly due to handset sales being lower, roaming business being lower, and in addition, the macroeconomic weakness in some of our markets. Despite these challenges, we reported positive growth in Indonesia, Myanmar, and Palestine. We maintained cost discipline and focused on delivering efficiencies through digitization during the year, resulting in healthy EBITDA margin of 42% in 2020. However, due to the decline in revenue, EBITDA declined 6% to 12.1 billion riyals in 2020 compared to the previous year. Let's move to the next slide. Net profit. Group net profit for the year was 1.1 billion riyals, a decline of 35% compared to the previous year. And that was due to a decline in EBITDA. And also when compared to 2019, there was a positive impact last year due to one-off gains from our Indonesian tower sales. We reported a net loss in Q4 due to foreign exchange losses, mainly due to the devaluation of the Iraqi dinar in December and a one-off impairment from an investment. Let's move to the next slide. Capital expenditure and free cash flow. As you will see, the capex for the period was stable at 5.8 billion riyals, representing a capex to revenue ratio of 20%, which is in line with our guidance. We remain focused on optimizing capex by taking advantage of Ooredoo Group's economies of scale. An example of this is our strategic 5G agreement with Ericsson for the supply of 5G equipment, as well as related implementation and integration services for all 10 group operating companies. We generated a positive free cash flow in 2020 despite the challenging environment due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Cash flow for Q4 was impacted by net losses in Q4, as explained earlier. Moving on to the next slide, total customers. As you will see, the total customer base increased 3% to more than 120 million in 2020 compared to the same period last year. Growth was driven mainly by strong customer acquisitions in Myanmar, Indonesia, and Iraq. Moving on to the next slide, net debt. We maintain a healthy and well-balanced debt profile and continue to make progress in deleveraging. Net debt declined 3% year on year to reach 24.1 billion riyals in 2020. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio is 1.9 times, which is within our long-term guidance of 1.5 to 2.5 times, and well below our bank covenants of 4.5 times. Group debt remains mainly at corporate level, largely in Qatar, followed by Indonesia, and then a smaller percentage allocated to the other opcos. As a reminder, debt at the opco level is kept primarily in local currency. Moving on to the next slide. As you know, 2020 was an unprecedented year, but despite this, we delivered a healthy set of results. In 2021, we expect to improve on our run rates in terms of revenue and EBITDA. The expected range is between -3% and +1%. The actual results will vary depending on COVID-19 developments in our markets. We will continue to invest in our future with CapEx between 5 and 6 billion riyals allocated primarily for the rollout and maintenance of our 4G and 5G networks. Let's move on to slide number 12 for the operational review of our opcos, starting with Qatar. In our home market, Qatar, we continue to lead the way with innovative offerings to provide our customers a seamless digital experience. In 2020, we launched the OSN streaming app for our postpaid customers, and we also launched a new Ooredoo Money Android app. Financially, we were impacted by the global travel restrictions, which negatively impacted our roaming revenues. Revenue declined slightly in 2020 compared to the previous year. This flowed through to the EBITDA. Our cost optimization initiatives enabled us to sustain a robust EBITDA margin of 52% during the year. Our customer numbers increased marginally to 3.3 million in 2020, supported by growth in the postpaid segment and Ooredoo TV. Support for the community remained a top priority, with extended network and telecom support provided to quarantine centers and hubs across the country. In addition, Ooredoo was also named one of the 10 best brands in Qatar in efforts to combat COVID-19. Sequentially, revenue increased 1% to 1.8 billion riyals in Q4 2020 compared to Q3 2020, driven by higher handset sales. The EBITDA margin was impacted by a one-off discount for network disruption in November and by the lower margin handset sales. Let's move to the next slide, Indonesia. Indosat Ooredoo delivered a robust set of results in 2020, achieving quarter-on-quarter growth for every quarter during the year. Year-on-year revenue increased 4% to 7 billion riyals, supported by the launch of our digital brand, Mime3, which became the highest rated telco app in Indonesia. We continue to focus on operational efficiencies, which enabled us to increase our EBITDA margin to 46% in 2020 from 43% in the previous year. And this was despite the COVID-19 impact and price competition by competitors. EBITDA increased 11% in 2020 compared to the previous year. Our customer base showed a healthy growth of 2% for the year, supported by our investments in our infrastructure, which was recognized at the Open Signal Global Mobile Experience Award 2020, where we received the Global Rising Star Award. Sequentially, revenue increased 5% to 1.9 billion riyals in quarter four 2020. EBITDA margin was impacted by timing of marketing spend in quarter four. As already announced on 28 December 2020, Ooredoo Group entered into an exclusive and non-legally binding MOU with CK Hutchison in relation to a potential transaction to combine our respective telecommunications businesses in Indonesia. The exclusivity period for the MOU is valid until April 2021. Moving on to the next slide, Iraq. In Iraq, our performance was impacted by movement restrictions implemented to manage the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. Revenues declined to 4 billion Qatari riyals. However, we saw a recovery in voice revenues in second half of 2020, which were heavily impacted during the first half of the year. EBITDA for the year was 1.8 billion riyals, representing a healthy EBITDA margin of 44%, supported by our prudent cost controls and efficiency measures. HSL's customer base increased 4% in 2020 compared to the previous year, as the company's digital channels allowed customers to stay connected through the COVID-19 pandemic. Sequentially, revenue declined by 1% in quarter four to 1 billion rial. EBITDA margin was impacted by recording of regulatory fees, USF, for previous periods. We launched experimental 4G services in late January 2021. Starting 2021, the company signed with CMC a license agreement for $233 million to renew the company's license for 8 years. Moving on to the next slide, Oman. Ooredoo Oman continued to invest in its network and launched new digital products for its customers. The extended coverage of a 5G home broadband to new areas of the Sultanate and introduced new retail and business products like eShop, PayPlus, mobile money, and 5G business services. Financially, movement restrictions and a shrinkage of the expat population in Oman impacted our results for the period. Revenue was down and consequently EBITDA declined. Cost optimization initiatives and digital transformation supported a healthy EBITDA margin of 53% in 2020. Ooredoo Oman maintained a customer base of 2.8 million. Sequentially, revenues declined 1% to reach 619 million, which also impacted EBITDA margin. Moving on to the next slide, Kuwait. Ooredoo Kuwait's performance in 2020 was impacted, like other opcos, by COVID-19, a softening of the macroeconomic environment, and price competition in the market. The company reported revenues of $2.5 billion. EBITDA for the period was $617 million, down from previous year as a result of lower revenue. Sequentially, we are starting to see market conditions stabilize as commercial activity picks up following the easing of movement restrictions. Quarter-on-quarter revenue increased 6% in local currency between Q3 20 and Q4 20. However, EBITDA was impacted by year-end provisions for collections. Ooredoo Kuwait's customer base at the end of 2020 was 2.5 million. Ooredoo Kuwait remains committed to its 5G rollout despite the challenges of COVID-19 pandemic. Along with its network deployment, Ooredoo Kuwait continues to launch new products for its customers, including collaborating with Citrix to offer innovative B2B solutions. We are proud to be recognized by the Kuwait Red Crescent Society, which honored the voluntary role Ooredoo Kuwait employees performed to support society throughout the ongoing pandemic. Let's move to slide 17, Algeria. Economic conditions in Algeria deteriorated due to the COVID-19 pandemic, adding to the already challenging market characterized by intense price competition and currency weakness. The Algerian dinar depreciated 5% year on year. Ooredoo Algeria reported revenues of 2.3 billion. EBITDA was down 14%. Ooredoo Algeria continued to focus on cost optimization, supporting a stable EBITDA margin of 33%. Sequentially, revenues were stable at 570 million rials. EBITDA margin was lower due to higher marketing spend in quarter four and one-off provisions for taxes and regulatory costs. Ooredoo Algeria's customer base declined to 12.5 million in 2020 compared to the previous year. Moving on to slide 18, Tunisia. Ooredoo Tunisia grew its revenue by 3% in 2020 compared to the previous year, despite challenging macroeconomic conditions. EBITDA for the year was 650 million compared to 682 million in 2019, impacted by increased billing and collection cost, reflecting a slowing economy. Sequentially, Ooredoo Tunisia revenue was stable in Q4 at 392 million rials, with some decline in margins due to timing of marketing spend and provisions for collections. Ooredoo Tunisia's customer base was 8.2 million in 2020, reaffirming its position as the number one telecom player by customer market share. Ooredoo Tunisia continued its network dominance by registering the fastest 4G mobile data speeds in the country. Moving on to slide 19. Myanmar. Our digital offering continues to be well received in Myanmar, with the Ooredoo app increasing its monthly active users to 3.2 million. Our subscriber base increased 28% to 14.7 million in 2020 compared to the previous year. Ooredoo Myanmar reported revenue of 1.2 billion in 2020, up 10% compared to the same period last year, supported by favorable exchange rates and increased data consumption, which offset a decline in voice revenues. We continue to focus on the implementation of our cost optimization strategy, which along with the increase in revenue supported a 12% increase in EBITDA in 2020 compared to the previous year. Sequentially, revenues increased 3%. EBITDA for the quarter benefited from lower operating expenses, as well as certain one-off reversals of previous period provisions. At Ooredoo Group, we are closely monitoring the developing situation in Myanmar. The group has extended its support to Ooredoo Myanmar, which continues to focus on supporting its customers and ensuring the well-being of its employees during this period. I will now hand over to Andrew to give an update on our digital strategy.
Thank you, Ajay. Yeah, so we, a couple of years ago now, at the end of 2018, implemented a digital strategy across all of the commercial organizations across each of the countries to make it easy for our customers to find, buy, and use our services online. And obviously, we saw back then the global trend and the trend in each of our markets of customers spending more and more of their time online. And we needed our capabilities to catch up with that customer demand. So we focused primarily on three main areas with a few supporting areas as well. And that's digital marketing, digital sales, and digital care. On digital marketing, we had really two missions. Number one was customers were spending more and more of their time on Facebook, Google, Instagram, and online platforms. But a lot of our marketing spending was still on traditional media. So step one was shift our spending to online to a proportion that matches consumer consumption. And then with that spending, a beautiful thing of digital marketing is obviously that you have a lot of data on what works and what doesn't work. So we can then make our marketing far more ROI driven. So we put the marketing dollars behind the ads and the media and the channels that have impact. And then of course, once we show someone one of our ads, we would like them to click on that ad and we would like to sell them a product online. So that product is a new SIM card or subscription for new customers. Or for existing customers, it's around upselling them additional products or packages. And you know, one trend that we saw coming, which made us back in 2018, you know, feel it was imperative to put a big focus on this, was of course eSIM. And with eSIM, you remove the real need for a customer to go to a shop. So with that, you know, we did a big drive behind digital sales as well. And then the last piece is, of course, digital care, which means getting people to use our application to change package or to get support or to purchase a new product or anything they would typically go to a store or call our call center for, they now do through the application. And we, of course, had a few internal enablers to support that. We focused heavily on recruiting and building digital talent and teams across our markets, getting in place the right technology and platforms to enable seamless online marketing, sales, and care. And then, of course, all of this is powered with digital analytics and CVM. And in, as a telco, we have an incredible access to data that we can use to make our products and services better for our customers. And I think one of the most important things on that is actually the analytics and the algorithms. And then finally, we've begun implementing more agile ways of work so that we're able to drive these things in a much more fast manner. And, you know, luckily we began this journey back in 2018, and this gave us the foundation required to really serve our customers well and accelerate when we had to deal with the challenges that COVID brought about. So that positioned us well, and I think that helped us a lot through this last year of 2020. So thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Andrew and RJ and Sheikh Mohammed. Just in terms of investor relations, upcoming events, Ooredoo will be presenting at the third EFG Hermes virtual conference at the beginning of March. And we will announce our Q1 results around the end of April. And now we are coming to the Q&A part. So in order to ask questions on Zoom, please raise your hand. If you are dialing in via phone, if you push *9, then you can ask your question as well. You will find some more information also in the additional info section of our investor presentation, which is now on our website. Yeah, I think we got a question there from Nishit. I put you on voice, if that's all right.
Yes, thank you so much, Andrew, and to Ooredoo's management for this opportunity. I have a few questions on the results. First, on the Forex impact that we see from Iraqi dinar's devaluation in December. I was wondering, other than the translation exposure, do you have any Iraq dollar-denominated debt, or what exactly resulted in this Forex loss in 4Q from Iraqi dinar devaluation? So that's my first question. The second one is on Myanmar. Now we've seen some pressure on the currency after the coup, and Myanmar's currency strength helped the operations in 2020. So what's your outlook going forward in terms of after the coup, how things have changed, and is there any business risk as well, along with the fact that you might see some Forex volatility coming in the income statement? If I'm not wrong, you have some intercompany loan to Myanmar, right, in dollar terms, that that comes as Forex volatility in your other income. That's my second question. And third, if there can be more details on this impairment, what exactly has this impairment been done on which asset in the 4Q? And sorry, in one more question on the Myanmar itself. It seems you did well in the at the EBITDA level, but there appears to be some loss in 4Q at bottom line level before taxes. So what happened below EBITDA in Myanmar in 4Q? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nishit. I think most of these questions can be covered by RJ. If we start with the Iraqi question, the FX impact there.
Thanks, Nishit, for the questions. The Forex impact for Iraq is coming at the group level due to some receivables in terms of dividend upstreaming. As if you followed us for some time, for the past 3 years, we've been upstreaming dividends. But before that, there was a time when we could not upstream dividends. So some historical dividends have still not been upstreamed. So they are denominated in IQD. So once we convert that to our base currency, that receivable becomes a smaller number. So that's why you see loss in the books of the group. At the Iraq level, they don't have dollar borrowing of any significant amount. So that is not the reason for the loss. As in the case of Myanmar, where they have dollar borrowing from the group, that's what triggers the loss at Myanmar level. So in fact, it's a good segue to Myanmar. So right now the business is continuing okay. It's early days right now. We are monitoring the situation very closely. Our focus really is to make sure telecommunication services continue and our employees are safe. The FX volatility has been there in this country ever since we had invested there. The current environment kind of course have an impact on that. So this year was good. We had large FX gain during the year, but equally when the FX becomes weak, it turns into a loss as well. So the volatility, if you look at last couple of years, a similar volatility can still continue in this year, depending on which way the currency would move. As far as the quarter four is concerned, the EBITDA was positive, but again, in the quarter itself, the FX movement was not as positive. And that's why for the quarter, you see an impact for Myanmar, but for the full year, the FX was positive for Myanmar. The impairment, which has been taken in quarter four, in the details of our financial statement, you can see it. It relates to our investments that we've done in one of our subsidiaries, it's Nigeria, where we do a period-end evaluation with the auditors and the impact of foreign exchange, as well as the continuing economic deterioration over there. And as a result of that, is the carrying value is higher than the valuation of the business, we have to take an impairment. It's a one-off item, not expected to repeat going forward.
Yeah, thank you very much, RJ. On the Myanmar outlook?
I think normally we don't forecast outlook for each individual opcos. We have given you overall guidance for the group. But of course, Myanmar situation is more volatile. And as things develop on the ground, I think we can talk about these things more in quarter one results.
Yeah. Nisha, just for your information, the importance of Myanmar to the group is limited to around 4% of the group revenue and 2% of the EBITDA. Okay, then we have a question from Fatma. I put you on sound as well. You can also type your question if you want to, it's up to you. Maybe she's not ready yet. Then I hand over to Ziad from Arkham.
Yes, thank you for the presentation. Just a few questions. First of all, with regards to Qatar, can you give us a bit more detail on the network outage you've experienced? How much did it last and how many users or subscribers did it affect? And is it possible to quantify this impact on revenues and EBITDA for Q4? That's one. Second question is with regards to Indosat and the talks with Hutchison. Is there a scenario where you would see potentially Ooredoo forgo control of the consolidated entity? And how are you looking to achieve this M&A? Is it cash? Could you inject more capital from the parent? Any details on that would be appreciated. And finally, on Aira, with regards to the license renewal, does it come with 4G? And is the parliament still opposing this? Or it's done, it's ratified? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the questions. I think the first one, maybe Sheikh Mohammed, as the CEO of Ooredoo Qatar, wants to comment. We are not talking about a network outage, it's more of a network disruption, so not as dramatic.
Yeah, thank you, Andreas. So what's happened in quarter four, the network outages is an issue that happened to our core network, and it was, honestly, it's part of our upgrade and, what we are doing as a routine upgrade for our core network. It's happened, unfortunately, for some time. It affected a percentage of our customers. Hopefully, it doesn't honestly affected full the entire customer. However, some of our customers have really felt the outage for some time. It really took for some time over the peak time, as well as some of weekend, I do remember. And it took us like for a few days that to restore, and we managed how we can restore our data and customer, connectivity or the service back to the customers. So it happened for some time, honestly. It wasn't a one-off, be frank here. We managed to restore that. And I can tell it's part of our routine and planned upgrade, but things happen when and surprising things that can happen sometimes for this type of technicality. When it comes, I think the question is about the revenue loss. I think what you have seen in Qatar is the joint of pandemic issue, or the pandemic of COVID-19 impacted our performance in top line and also EBITDA. We can tell as well, you know, the roaming business affected as well here, as well as when we talk about the outages, what hit our top line is the compensation that given for our, you know, customer as a token of appreciation, and it was 50% off on the bills for the postpaid and other benefits also given for a prepaid. So that amounted for above 100 million Qatar riyal. So that's in a nutshell what happened and what has been given and hitting our top line and bottom line of financial of a quarter for specifically in Qatar. I think the second question is about Indosat. I can also cover that. I think what has been publicly announced, still we are not in a stage to have more details about the governance and the control stake. It says a non-binding MOU until 30th of April. That's about Indosat. I cannot recall the third question. I can, or maybe EJ can jump in. Can you just tell me that what that third question, please?
Yeah, the third question is probably more for EJ with regards to the license renewal in Iraq.
Okay. So I can answer that. I think we, as EJ said, we launched our 4G and our license has been renewed and it has been paid. And we are there, you know, legally, and we are serving our customer for the latest network, and we have settled this license renewal. I think also EJ can highlight also more details into other stuff, maybe if that's EJ, please, if you want to add something.
No, Sheikh, I think you're right. This is something which happened post the year end, very recently. And this is just to confirm that the license payment was made. The issue as far as the court case was concerned, the court had finally decided that the CMC, the regulator, had taken the decision correctly after they reissued the decision with the right procedure. And once that court decision was out, after that, only the payments were made. So it's after the confirmation from the court that the CMC decision was fine, that the payments were made.
Okay, I hope that answers your questions yet. If I may add on Qatar, post the disruption that we had in November, actually, the network in Qatar has been measured by an independent third party, by Ookla, as the fastest network in the world. So that's quite a strong achievement.
Just to add, Andreas, on that, so our network affected, honestly, mainly our 4G customers. 3G, we're working very well. As I said, it's part, honestly, of our upgrade. And I can assure that also for Qatar, you know, since we are hopefully, inshallah, hosting also our 2022 event, we have a very long planned or pipeline of honestly upgrading our core network. And in radio, we are very proud that we launched our 5G and we are above 19% of our populated area. But also when it comes to the core, which is very important for our services, we are having a very well planned of upgrade. And that's something we are working very hard to make sure that we are really serving our customer for the best quality of network and services. And that's something we make sure that we are really serving the and being ready for the big and hosting event of 2022.
Excellent, thank you very much. Yeah, so if you have any further questions, please do raise your hand and then put your question in the chat function, or we can give you the microphone. Yeah, there's a question from Ali Dalumal.
Hi, Andreas. And hi, team. Thank you for the call. I have just a couple of questions. I mean, first, on your funding plan for this year, I mean, we haven't seen you on the Eurobond market for a while. So as you have like $1.7 billion due this year, and I know that your liquidity is very strong, I was wondering if you have any plan to tap the Eurobond market. I know you have a bond maturing tomorrow. And my second question is about Oman. You know, there is this third player coming in. They just got the license. Vodafone just got the license in January. I was wondering what's your plan there. I mean, what you expect in terms of disruption for your operation, and when this third player do you expect him to come to and start operating? And just lastly, very broadly on M&A, I mean, you haven't been doing much on that front. I mean, except of course this Indosat transaction that is ongoing. But I was wondering if there is anything in the pipeline that we should expect or that you are working on, broadly speaking. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ali. Maybe on the funding question, Ajay can start, and then we follow up with Oman and the M&A plans.
Yeah, so the funding is concerned, you know, whenever maturities happen for any bond or a loan, we do look at all the options, which include the debt capital market, the bond market, as well as the bank market. So we proactively look at all our options, and if indeed there's a possible transaction, which is public in nature, definitely we will announce that. So we'll just have to wait and see when we take a decision like that. Yeah. But we proactively look at our various options for refinancing. For the Oman and Vodafone launch, of course, this has been happening for a long time. The company is ready for a potential third operator as far as readiness in terms of the network, digitization, so all those strategies are in place. The date of launch is still not clear. We understand they've got the license finally. So we'll have to see maybe end of Q2, potentially. I don't know. Maybe Sheikh Mohammed, you want to add something to that?
I think that's what you have said. I think you covered this very well, AJ, and I totally agree with what you have said. Nothing to add.
Thank you, Sheikh. For the M&A, of course, our strategy has been to not actively look at expansion, as we've said in the past. Of course, if some good opportunity comes, we will look at it. Focus in the recent years has been more on looking at in-country opportunities. As we've said in the past, consolidation opportunities where they exist. And the announcement in Indonesia is in line with what we said in the past. So nothing much more than that advise at this stage.
Thank you very much, Ajay. Ali, I hope that answers your questions.
Yes, thank you.
Great. Then we have Nikhil Mishra, and I'll give the microphone to you. If you just unmute yourself.
Yeah. Thanks for the presentation. Just one question on guidance. This guidance, if I'm correct, is based on constant currency basis. And if not, can you just give us an idea of what kind of FX rates are you looking at? And something on the related terms, can you just give us some idea on how the first 1.5 months across your markets, you know, which markets have done well in the last 1.5 months and which have not done so well? Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so as far as the guidance is concerned, it does take into account expected or budgeted currency movements. And for each country, of course, the currency movement is different. We normally look at historical trends, regression analysis, inflation differential, things like that, and then have a forecast which we use. But the actuals, of course, can be better or worse than that. That has to be taken into account. So yes, the guidance takes into account budgeted movement in currency. So as far as the current performance is concerned for Q1, I think we'll have to wait for the Q1 results. Once we announce the results, only then we'll be able to share more details about that.
All right.
And with regards to the current quarter, unfortunately, we would have to wait until the end of April before we can give you any more details. This call is just focusing on the financial year 2020. We can give you some long-term trends. And of course, the markets developments are heavily correlated with the COVID-19 developments in our markets.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, if you have any further questions, please raise your hand, or if you have a repeat question, you can also ask questions twice. I just erased all hands there. Nisha, there's another question from you.
Yes, thank you again for the opportunity. I have two questions. One on the Oman telecom dynamics. Is Ooredoo Oman in any way in discussion with Vodafone on any level of infrastructure sharing that may happen for the rollout or for the third telco? That's my first question. Second is on the Kuwaiti market. You mentioned that there were some provisions done in the fourth quarter that affected the profitability. So how's the market looking, and do you see some level of stress in the Kuwaiti market, or this is something that's now behind and the market is looking better from here going forward? Thank you.
Okay, so let me take for the Kuwaiti market and then maybe AJ answer for Oman. For the Kuwaiti market, as you have seen, Kuwait market has really impacted badly of COVID-19 compared to other OpCos. And the reason is there is a quite full lockdown for almost 4 or 5 months in 2020. Ooredoo or Kuwait market is a very subsidized market where you can see, I think you have seen what is regarding your question about the provision. You have seen that really, the collections and the provision of the bad debts is really increased because of expat and influx of expat leaving the country. And that's really affecting, your bottom line because of the bad debt issue. As well as you might have seen also Ooredoo Kuwait and STC and Zain all fully impacted by the pandemic. However, Ooredoo could be a little bit highly or largely impacted because mainly it's a prepaid segment, whereas a lot of expat left the country, and that resulted in a very deteriorated financials or performance in 2020 compared to last year. Looking forward, honestly, we are quite cautious about Kuwait market. There has been a lot of measures, and rumors about another lockdown in the country. And we are, monitoring the situation and closely. And we will see how things, evolve or happening in a quarter one. And we will have, I think, better view in 2 months time about 2021 lookout. To you, AJ.
Sheikh, for that update. Coming to Oman, you're right, there are opportunities when a third operator is coming for national roaming, infrastructure sharing. So all those opportunities are there, and the possibility of that and discussions obviously are ongoing, but nothing further to advise on that until there is some conclusion on those discussions and opportunities. But you're right, those opportunities do exist.
Okay, thank you.
All right, then we have a couple of questions which came via the chat function. Some of them have already been answered, but I'll just read them out. So we discussed the asset impairment, but there was a question from Omar Maha from EFG. Is the main driver for the, is Myanmar's currency the main driver for the 199 million FX loss in Q4?
The Q4 loss is primarily coming from the Iraqi dinar depreciation, which we explained earlier was related to a dividends receivable from there.
Mm-hmm. Then an interesting question. Can you provide a ballpark figure for the expected revenue benefit from the World Cup next year? How are the preparations progressing from your side?
I think it's premature to tell the amount or whatever that can be expected from the World Cup. But however, I can assure you that we are very proud to be, as Ooredoo Qatar, the telecom partner for the World Cup and the committee of 2020. We also the technology partner for the stadium and having, you know, the being, you know, the solution provider for smart stadium. And we are very optimistic about, you know, the opportunity that given and the economy that evolving because of this big event, hopefully, inshallah, happening.
Thank you very much. And I know Omar is a big football fan, so congratulations again on Al Ahly in the third place in the FIFA Club World Championship. Then we had a question on coming to the international bond markets and the NIAMA updates, a question from Yijide Onabule. But I think the questions were very similar to what Ali has been asking, and they are covered already. So if you have any additional questions, please raise your hand or type them. There's actually a question from Ziad from Arkham, and he is asking about the avenues going forward in terms of mobile monies, remittance, microfinance. What of the ICT component, data centers, Internet of Things? Any talks, plans for tower sales and leaseback?
I think I can take this. Today, we are in a group level. We are having our Braveheart project. And one of the pillars that we are talking about, honestly, digital and MFS. And that's where the, I think can address the mobile money and the revenue or avenues for growth through digital services. That's still also we are in a planning phase and how we can mature that across our OpCos. We have different OpCos, different regulatory regime, and also capabilities to have this up and running. When it comes to the ICT, you know, data centers, also that's part, and I can link it also to the infrastructure. This is also one of our pillars about infrastructure portfolio and how we can look into our across all our OpCo infrastructure from a tower, data center, fiber, and how we can honestly advance our talk maybe with such investor and having maybe a transactions on this stuff that can be also taken as a note of growth or revenue driven for our you know, operation. However, this is still early in talk and it's taken time, despite honestly we have seen a very advanced level of tower sales in Indosat that happened last year, and also there is a talk ongoing. Also there is other market that quite advanced, a couple of markets in the region. Still not cannot you know, give more details on that, but we are looking into this very seriously about you know, carving out some infrastructure that but depends on the regulatory aspect of each market that we are in.
You're on mute, Andrew. Thank you very much. Mohammed. Any further questions? Star 9 or raise your hand. If not, then I would like to thank you all for joining today's call. Please refer to the Ooredoo Investor Relations website for additional updates. Follow us on Twitter at OoredooIR or feel free to contact the Investor Relations team at any time. We look forward to your future participation in our next update sometime around the end of April. Meanwhile, again, thank you very much for your continued interest in Ooredoo. Thank you. Bye.